back at it. Dear Lord, I need you to bless what I say this morning. It needs to be your words and not mine for us to benefit. My testimony will be from your actions, and so you will be directly involved. So I give you the glory for what is going to be said in advance, for how lives will be changed in advance. Thank you, God, for how you blessed and for what you're going to do, even this morning, to bless us the more, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Also, thank God for being able to, and it's weird because it almost seems not even that important because we're so accustomed to it, but I thank him for the ability to record and put things down for people to be able to hear at a later date. So my message today, Ron started by saying, I had this confession to make to my wife. So I perked up trying to hear it. And he tells the story about the young man at the restaurant, being in the bathroom, working for the restaurant, being in the bathroom, using the bathroom on his cell phone at the same time, and how he walked out of the bathroom and the boy was out behind him. And there, just instinctively, he couldn't help but say, there ain't no way you washed your hands. It needed to be said. The point of all that, that Ron might have missed spiritually, but I don't think he did, is that we all need to wash our hands before we serve others spiritually. It's really difficult to clean somebody else with dirty hands. Y'all walking with me?
Yes.
And so although you didn't hear it because of my lesson, I heard it. And it would affect Ron, whether he had his food or not. It was a precedent that needed to be set, because the next time I come here, I want to know that the people fixing my food have clean hands. Amen. The word of God is food for your soul.
Amen. Yes, it is.
And the people who serve it to you ought to have clean hands.
Amen.
Amen. It is the blood of Jesus that cleans the hands of the men and women of God that serve the word of God to others. Likewise, as you begin to share your testimonies of what God has done and how he's changed you, there needs to be some cleaning that has gone on in your life. Amen? So as I teach this, the lesson title, Benefits of Confession, Benefits of Confession. So, Ron, did you and I discuss this? this wasn't part of our talk, so I thank God that that we'll be on the same page as what God is wanting said. So today, if you want to write down some scriptures, I'm going to give them all to you so that you can refer to them through the week. Our main scripture is going to be James 5. 16 through 18. James 5, 16 through 18. Our next scripture, I'm not going to give them in order, but 1 John 1, 5 through 10. Romans 3, 23. Y'all ready? James 4, 13 through 17, the emphasis being verse 17, and James 5, 16 through 18. I think I gave out James 5 as the main, but my main is probably going to be led into with me coming from James 4. All right? So, I need to, my digital Bible moved a little bit, so.
It's not up. Okay.
I'm trying to pull it up. Y'all give me a moment. All right. So I'm at James 4, and hold on, I need it to share.
Hold on.
Ah, got too much stuff open now. Y'all give me a minute, passed out of practice. I think I've been going a while. Thank you, Lord. There we go. There it is. All right, and give me a sec. This must be important, boy. Much is this fighting me? I don't fight so much. Give me a second. Lord have mercy. Well, I got my notes here. All right, we'll go from there. All right, so we are in the book of James chapter 4. And in James chapter 4, starting toward the latter verses there, is where I want to start walking from. James 4. And there we go. 13. So go to verse 13 if you would. Everybody have it?
Yes.
All right. God is good. So it says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. 15. For that you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we have a standard that we are supposed to live by. And it is a self-governing standard. Oftentimes we try to impose what God has said to us upon others. And yet there are stages and phases of growth, stages of growth that individuals themselves have. And until they get to a certain place, sometimes scripture doesn't even make sense to them until they get there.
Amen. Amen.
And you can hear it all you want to, and yet there is a time and a season for everything. And there are some scriptures that when you read them the first time, they say one thing to you. And 3 years later, you read the same scripture and it means something. Not that it is interpreted differently, but there is a depth of knowledge about, get this, yourself, that allows that scripture to mean more to you than it did 3 years before. And so we find these gentlemen here and they have upset James. because they are not giving God the glory. They're talking about what they're going to do, how they're going to do this and that. And they're like, he's like, you don't know what tomorrow holds. And realize that he's not just talking to the average person. He's talking to someone that's supposed to trust in God. But listening at their testimony says they trust in themselves. And so maybe he could have said it differently, Ron. But he said, you talking about what you going to do in your life ain't nothing but a vapor. First, you ought to ask whatever the Lord's will is, which sets the standard for our living, is what is the Lord's will for my life. Got it? What does the Lord want me to do? How is the Lord trying to use me? And so as we look at that, it comes to my mind that it is necessary for us. That young man that Ron was talking about had run to the back and, you know, he's trying to get it done, but he, you know, he wasn't willing to confess, but his actions were confessing he hadn't done what he needed to do. What I need for you all to take in this morning, and I really do need these to come up, Lord. That's what I need right there. Is I need for you to understand the importance of confession. Okay? Not only do I need you to understand the importance of confession, I need you to understand that when we started with this whole fasting thing in August, as we got into September, the very beginning, I kept saying, I see the Lord saying in these scriptures, examine yourself. Because oftentimes we blame God, but we might not acknowledge God. You know, we'll blame him for what hasn't happened, but we won't acknowledge him for what has taken place, you know, what he has done. Like these young men were not acknowledging him for who he was. They were taking the credit themselves for what they were going to accomplish. And yet they needed to have mindsets that were set on pleasing God and fulfilling his will. Amen. In the earth. That is, if we are here for a reason, you need to be operating within those guidelines, those Amen. Boundaries or parameters in your life. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. So, why do we confess? Because the acknowledgement of sinfulness in public or private is regarded as necessary to obtain divine forgiveness.
Yes.
All right? You can't be forgiven until you confess. Whether publicly or privately, you need to have opened your mouth and acknowledged what's going on with you to God. I'll give my testimony. I have had a good time. I mean, we had a good time in California. We had a good break. It was good to see some things. I wish I had done a little more. In my spirit, I was a little overwhelmed because I wanted to do more, but because my daughter was taking us around and I knew how important things were for her, she still wasn't done. And it just felt bad. I wanted to do some things, but I knew she needed to be finishing the things she needed to finish before she got on the road and all that. But God blessed, we had a good time. During that good time, it was not without event, let's call it that. There was a moment or two where Cherie and I might have been heated with each other, briefly. But before we ever left Georgia, there had been some times that we'd been curt, short, rough, with each other. And as I was preparing for the service today, I just couldn't get the word down in my spirit. There were some unconfessed things I had not gone to God with. And it's as if he were saying, I'm not giving you nothing to say till you get this right with me. And so I just couldn't quite get it together. And I told my wife, I said, listen, I gotta go down to the church for a while. I just need to go sit before the Lord. And as I came into the house of God and began to pour out to him, because you know you can move past things, but it's not always about moving past them as it is dealing with them. Does that make sense to everybody? Because until you deal with the thing, it is quite possible you may have to deal with that thing at a later time. So you have to address things. And so I came down and I began to pour out to God the things that were going on. And man, they weren't just what was going on with me and Sheree. There was some other stuff. And it was like, God, I need to lay this before you. And I'm saying to you that it didn't take all night. It just took a mind to want to give it to him, to admit to him my failings. I can't admit Ron's failings. I can't admit Carlos's failings. I can't admit or Sheree's failings. The only failings I can take to God are mine. Now, if I see you do something, I can pray on your behalf, but I can't get your forgiveness for it. You need to seek that yourself. I needed to deal with me. I needed to talk to him about William. And truth of the matter is, William needed to be talked about with God. And on the outside, if you look, you'd be like, oh, okay, things good. But on the inside, where he looks, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. There were some things I needed to address before God. And as soon as because it just wasn't coming. And I don't struggle to get the word. It just was not coming. I felt like I was in a desert. As much word as I got, man, I just felt like I was in a desert place. And as soon as I walked in, not just walking in the building, but with the right mind, the right heart to give to the healer the things that needed to be done in me, he began to work on it. And I could feel the load lighten almost immediately. Because I took it to him truthfully and honestly. Am I talking to anybody?
Yes.
What I need you to do is in your hearing me, write down what you need to write because it's beneficial to you. Make sure that you're making the notes for you because in this, I have benefited and yet I am speaking to you with clean hands, saying to you, clean your hands. Am I making sense?
Yes, sir.
Because it is... See, what will happen is you may continue functioning till you can't. You can only function on top of foolishness for so long, and then you're going to have to come to terms with it because it's going to poison things. Got it? Sin, the wages of sin, well, what is sin? Because, you know, we go to the deep things. It's just, if a man knoweth to do good and doesn't do it, whatever the good is. See, I want y'all to get this. Some years ago, I was in a store and I told y'all I heard this lady talking and I got this thing in my spirit. I'm trying to do one thing. God had actually taken me there for something else. I didn't catch it. And this lady's in the pharmacy and she's trying to get some medicine and she doesn't have the money. And I'm there trying to help somebody with something else. And I heard her. And then my spirit's like, you should pay for that. So she can have what she needs. And I did not. And boy, I was grieved in my spirit. It's like, that's what he sent you there for. And there are times that we know to do good, but we don't. And to him that knoweth to do good and doesn't do it, to him, it's sin. Does that make sense to everybody? And so as I go through the scripture today, I want you to begin to pick up on the fact that the Spirit of God will govern us if we'll allow it. It will speak to us. The Spirit of God will govern us if we allow it. It will speak to us and challenge us to do that which is right. And the grief comes when you challenge or grieve the Spirit. Because he's trying to do something through you. And you're opposed or unwilling to do it. So now the man of sin comes back to try to take over. Y'all with me? And so my challenge this morning is that we understand the necessity for one, self-examination. Okay? I have to have it on this sheet. And after self-examination, you don't have to tell the doctor the stuff that's going right, or you can. You can say, hey, I got my blood pressure down, my weight is down, I feel better, and this, that, and other. But what the doctor's going to deal with is the stuff that's wrong. And a good, thorough self-examination gives you the ability to say to the healer, I got this going on. He knows. See, it's unlike your doctor when you go there and you got to tell him what's wrong and then pay him to try to figure out how to fix it. When you go before God and you tell him what's wrong, that's payment enough because he knows that you trust him.
That's right.
You've come to him for healing. You've confessed whatever's going on with you, and he is able to help you from whatever state you're in to the state that you need to be. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
So my thought that I put out there was, if you fail to do what you know is right, you are doing wrong.
Amen.
That's my thought.
It
is. I mean, it is. See, we sometimes try to make this so profound in that we make it complicated. You know, it's not all that complicated. If you know what's right to do and you choose not to do the right, then either, let's do it from a mechanics standpoint. End of the day, I know I need to put 40 pounds of torque on this thing. I get like 15 pounds, I'm like, oh man, it'll be all right. That's wrong. Y'all get where I'm going? Nobody knows. You know.
Yep.
And if you practice it enough, it'll become your habit.
Yep.
And if you practice doing right, that will become your habit.
That's right.
And so I know it takes 40 pounds for this to be right. I know I need to do this bolt and then a bolt on the opposite side and then come back and then go back. I just gonna do it this way. Well, you can do it that way. And only you'll know if it don't break. If it does break, you might blame somebody else for it breaking. But on the inside, you'll know you didn't do the right thing. And as I talk to you all about this, I want you to search this out and understand that we're talking relationships. I got to do what's right as a husband. She got to do what's right as a wife. I got to do what's right as a pastor. Y'all as a congregation, listen, I was listening to a teacher the other day, man, bless my heart so much. He said, man, because I had taught this and hearing, you know, somebody on a whole different level. And he said, listen, if you pay attention to that scripture, ain't nothing wrong with the seed. He said, the sower went forth to sow. Some he cast, it fell on the wayside. Some fell on stone, some fell on thorn, and some fell in the good ground. It was the condition of the soil. The seed, if you give it a chance, the seed will spring up. It's the soil that needs to be worked on. Now, we could blame the sower and say, well, he should have got the rocks out. Well, in our situation, you got to get the rocks out. You got to work on the dirt of your being. You've got to work on you and allow God to work on you to get those things out that would strangle out the word of God, which is the seed. And that will help you to grow and become more of who God wants you to be. Am I making sense to everybody?
Yes.
And so as we dig into this, I want y'all to know that that my fast started for health reasons, but then the spiritual benefit came from it, but then the devil came. Because I can't just let you get better. I can't. You might have sidetracked me talking about you was wanting to heal your body, but you trying to get spiritually strong too. And so things began to move around me that needed to be, wait a minute, what's going on here? No. Got to find yourself and deal with. And none of this is moving, but Satan realized, hey, I got to get him. And so you need to pay attention to what Satan is trying to do while you're trying to draw closer to God.
Yes?
Yes. And this is so serious, it ain't funny. It's so serious, and we kind of take for granted how serious our spiritual growth is. And I jump on me all the time because sometimes, you know, I'm not all the times my gruff really my gruff. Sometimes just the way I sound. But then there's sometimes you could have said that a little nicer. And then there's sometimes I didn't want to say that nicer. And then sometimes, yeah, anybody know where I'm at? And so in those times, I didn't want to say it nicer, but could you have? Could have. Should you have? I should have. He that knoweth to do good. Did you realize that before you said it or after? If you realized after you said it, when you realized that you should have, then the next thing should have been what? Somebody said.
Sorry.
Actually, if I realized afterwards that I should have said it differently, then my next thing is, hey, listen, I'm sorry. I could have said that differently. If I realized before I said it, hey, I'm sorry. Or, let the little ball bounce around like on Plinko before you open your mouth. How come you ain't saying that? Let it bounce around. I don't have anything to say. Because if you got nothing good to say, don't say anything at all. You know, power of life and death, where?
In the tongue.
So as we address these things, we have to realize that, yes, self-evaluation, self-examination is going on, but we can't see what I found. Let's just do this. What I've done since 2014-ish, I guess it was. No, I guess it was before then. 2005-6, when I got diagnosed with prostate cancer, is I've always said, "Hey, I got prostate cancer." because that's something that's living in me, all right? And all these years later, so when I say to you, hey, you know, I'm working on this thing because I need to do whatever, it doesn't come as a shock. Now, you may have become numb in your ears because, I got something going on, but because I'm living so strongly, you go, well, ain't nothing wrong with him. But still, the confession has been made. God is working on that, and I'm working on me. Sometimes you have to acknowledge what's going on in you. Hey, I don't know why, but it could be my blood pressure, could be my hormones, could be my this, could be my that, but right now I don't feel done, and I might be rude. I'm trying not to. I mean, you know, in that, people then begin to, okay, let's walk together with this. What can I do to help? Sometimes your self-examination brings forth the support of others to try to get you to a better place. Let a man confess, you know, is what the Bible says. So it does challenge us in James. Go to James 5, and let's walk through that one for a minute. James 5, verse 16, I believe it is, through 18. Let's see. And I had read this out of the Easy Reader, but with all of it got going on here, I ain't gonna even play with this thing this morning. Verse 16 starts like this. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Why? Why? What'd you say? What'll happen? You can be healed. Got it? So you can be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now I need y'all to get this and walk in this. Sometimes it feels like this particular part is out of place, but it is very much in place if you understand what he's trying to teach. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. Let's deal with that verse right there by itself. Somebody tell me in your own words, what does that, Elias was a man subject to like passions like as we are. What in your words does that mean?
He was a man.
He's just a man like you or me.
Yeah.
Got the same stuff going on in him, right? Now look at where they go from there. And he, this man, just like us, prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Stop. Wait a minute. Elijah had the same stuff going on that I got going on? Yeah. And he prayed. And it stopped raining. Because he needed God to do something. Okay. 18. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Got it? I need y'all to see what they are trying to show us is that in these scriptures, the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. Okay? Well, what makes me righteous? That I'm in right standing with God. I strive to be in right standing with God. And when I am out of right standing with God, I confess my sin. He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all, get it, unrighteousness. So if I'm clean from unrighteousness, then it means I'm righteous before him because of the cleaning he's done, right? And the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous make a lot of things happen. And yet, Elijah was a man like we are. Somewhere he told God, I'm just not clean to do this. I don't want to do this. I remember him saying, I'm ready to go. Right? I am ready to go. It's just too much. It's just too much. I've been out here doing all this stuff and I'm calling fire from heaven. I'm doing, and this woman said, hey, listen, hey, let Elisha have it. I'm done. I am. And he sent a fiery chariot to bring him home. Got it? He ran. at the bringing fire from heaven, he stood up. It says 450, but then it says there's 400 other prophets. It's 850 prophets there. He stood up to 850 prophets, brought fire from heaven. What's that woman's name? Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. And brother took off. Wow. Wow. Took off and ran for a day. Just so much so the guy had to stop him. Y'all said, hey, angels feed him. That fool gonna kill himself. And under the strength of that meat, he ran again. And then he gets there and God's like, why are you here? Because ain't no prophets left and I'm by myself. I still got 5,000 hiding in a cave. Why are you running? After all, stop and get that. Why are you running? After all I've shown you and you run from that. And some of us are running after God has shown us so much and done so much for us and all that. We are not walking in the testimony.
Amen.
Did you hear me? That ain't planned right there. We are not walking in the testimony of what all he has done for us. We're so busy thinking about what's going to happen that we forgot to celebrate what he's done.
Amen.
Can't be worried about what's going to happen if you remember what he's done already. If you're focused on what he brought you out of, that's what scared all of Israel's enemies. It ain't what he was about to do, it's what he done. What they heard that he had done before that made them afraid of Israel. Hey, he opened up the Red Sea for them. Hey, he brought them out. He drowned their enemies. Hey, he did this. He gave them water out of a rock. Listen, he did. It is what he's done in the past that should be the fodder that keeps your fire burning. Yes?
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
So in James, it says that we're supposed to, in James 5, it says that we're supposed to tell each other what we've done wrong. And so sometimes you need to, if you tell God, but you feel like you need to go ahead and tell something. Listen, I've been da-da-da-da-da. Confessing that thing gets the devil's hands off you. Sometimes you need to be in a place where you need to listen, man, I'm struggling. You get words of wisdom, you get something. I mean, you get some help, God will hear you. They will hear you, they'll start praying for you. But once you burped it, got it out. Now you on the path of I'm not hiding it. I'm not hiding this, I gotta get better. Because as long as you hide it, you may stay involved in it.
That's right.
And you know, now I'm saying to y'all, listen, man, I've been a little testy. So now y'all be watching. Watch how he talking to his wife. See if he talking to her wrong. You know, you'll see. But it helps me. I've acknowledged, okay, I got to do better. I have to do better. Because there is no, you know, sometimes we want to justify why we respond like we respond. And yet, when you know to do good and you do it not, then for he that does that, it is sin. So we have to get better. Got it? And this is just healing. It's just healing for us. And we have to learn. This is the spiritual growth side of this. You know, God help me get better. And in that, we do grow spiritually. And that's what he's trying to do. Imagine what, or understand what God has done. You don't want to do wrong. Your flesh does. Your spirit lives in the flesh. And God did that intentionally. He put you in an environment, not everything around you, everything around you. He put you in something that makes it difficult to do what's right. You're in the flesh. And that's the term we use. You're walking in the flesh. Because if you walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because we are a spirit and we want to do the right things. Now, there are some things that our spirit man needs to get better. Yes or no?
Yes.
Because sometimes your spirit man, it ain't your flesh, your spirit man don't want to do better. You might have malice in your heart. You may have, there may be some bitterness. There may be this thing that you do that is intentional. It's not your flesh. It is who you are. And he is giving you the vehicle to do, act out on what you want to act out on so that you can see that that is not right. Yay?
Yes.
Oh man, y'all quiet on me.
Yes.
All right? And so as you begin to understand, okay, wait, when you see the ramifications of your actions, something in you, if it's righteous, will go, ooh, that wasn't good. And you want to get better. And by the time we disembark from this flesh, our spirit should be better. So that our spirit, because there wasn't no flesh in the presence of God in heaven. And so by the time our spirit man is in the presence of God, it ought to be better. Y'all got where I'm going?
Yes.
Given the opportunity to do what you want, that's what free choice is. If I don't give you the opportunity to be bad, all right, then you're going to have it in you and have a desire for it. But if I give you the opportunity and then you choose me and my ways,
yes.
You got it? Yes. See, this is bigger than most people understand that it is. That sometimes sin presents itself to you and you go, where'd that come from?
Amen.
Side run, back around, end around. Hey, wait, what the heck? And you have to have this made up mind.
Huh.
To examine what's going on. Am I making sense to you?
Yes.
To actually take the time to examine what's happening around you. Because we are trying to be who God wants us to be. We're improving our spirit, man. Now listen, our sin is forgiven. Our sin is forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. That paid the penalty of our sin. We are here for spiritual enrichment and edification. That's what Frederick Casey Price used to say. For your spiritual enrichment and edification, we are here to grow and be built up. To become better people and better spirit men. The dude that's inside this. When I started out, I was a baby, right?
Yeah.
Didn't have no abnormalities or nothing like that. A healthy 10 fingers, 10 toes, you know, a healthy baby. Oh, but the little fella inside that body, he had some things of his own. Babies lie without even being taught to lie. Wait a minute. Sometime they need some work. Thus, the whole thing the Bible says about train up your child. But I don't feel like I can. No, the mandate is don't let them be a weed. Train them up. The stuff you learn that's right, show them what's right so that they know what right is. If they don't learn right from you, why are you going to put them in the street to struggle and find out what's right? When you know, tell them this is what's right. And as you begin to do that, they mature and get better. Amen?
Yes. Amen?
So, why confess because the acknowledgement of sinfulness in public or private is regarded as necessary to obtain divine forgiveness. If you can't, or i.e., you can't be forgiven until you confess, healing can't come until a problem is acknowledged. You don't even ask God to heal you till you confess that there's a pain. Huh? You'll go to the mechanic until you see that there's a problem with your car. All right? Some people do preventive maintenance. I'm gonna make sure there's never a problem. But then there's some, you know, I got to have a click or a tick. Oh, let me go see the man or woman, you know, let me go see a mechanic. Even at the doctor's office, right? So why are you here today? Isn't that what the doctor said?
Yeah.
What are we gonna work on today? You might come in with a grimace. Your face hurt? Oh, no, no, no. Your back hurt? You got constipation, diarrhea? What's wrong? Splinter. You know, sometimes you can't tell what's wrong with a person. You might come in smiling and have something going on, and they go, you got all that going on? Yeah, but what sense it make to be all frowned up and have that going on? God is good. I want to give him the glory, you know? And when I went to, we're about out of town. When I went to the VA, I thank God, I went and did this CMP exam, and he was asking me questions, and I told him, I said, man, I'm not here to lie to you. And he asked me, said, do you have a brace? I said, I do. I said, I could have wore it today. I was like, but my leg isn't hurting at this minute. I said, and when my leg hurts, I'll wear my brace. I put it on. And he said, okay. I said, and it does hurt. And so he asked me a couple other questions. And then he asked me, he said, so what's your job? And I said, I'm a full-time pastor. And so he looked at me, you know, gave me one of those. He said, so do you stand when you preach? And I said, actually, I don't. I put chairs at both churches so I can sit down and teach when it's time for the word. And he just looked and he kind of leaned back like it was unbelievable to him. But guess what? It's the truth. And so I was thanking God that I didn't have to lie. I was thanking God that I didn't have so much pride that I didn't want to sit in a chair. You know, I'm on trips around. But it's not about the show that I put on. That's supposed to be, it's supposed to be the power of the word. And if Jesus stood up, read the word, and sat down himself, I find that the word ought to have the same power through me that it had through him, if the Holy Spirit's there. Amen. And so I pray today that you leave here understanding that you need to work on your inner man. I ain't even halfway through this thing. Wow. So we'll come back to it. But again, I'll take it from Ron. Wash your hands before you serve people, before you give them something to eat. Make sure your hands are clean. It's funny. I've had some good food from some nasty places. I'm just saying. I've eaten some food that people have cooked, and man, at one point in time, go by and just go and do a visit, and the house would be filthy, kitchen, nasty. It's like, oh, I can't eat nothing else from here, but the food had been so good. Ironically, if you go on the opposite side of the counter at the fast food restaurants or the restaurants, you realize it's just as nasty there. And so, we need to clean up our house. We need to make sure our hands are clean and all of that. But sometimes in doing the work, your hands get a little dirty. But when they do, you need to clean them. Amen? So this morning, if there's some things going on with you, whether you're listening to this recorded message or for those of you sitting here today, if you know there's some stuff going on in you, this is that opportunity. I'm not telling you to confess it to anybody else today. only because we're on a timetable and all, but I do want you to think about what you might need to confess to God. And I'm going to ask all of you to stand on your feet, and I want you to, I've already done it. I washed my hands. But I'm going to ask each of you, spend a few moments talking to God, all right? And while you're talking to God, I'm going to turn some soft music on. And I want you just to begin to pray and talk to God. And if you're not quite sure what you need to say to him, but you think of some stuff later, I want you to write down what you think of, and I want you to begin to talk to God about it. Oh, thank you. Father, we thank you right now for giving us this opportunity, this time, this space to confess to you. We ask God that you would help us. We have some things in us that we don't want to have. Sometimes we allow them to keep going in us. So we're asking God for your help. Lord, you know more about me than I know about myself. You've allowed me to see myself, but sometimes after I see myself, I've forgotten what I saw. When I saw it, I wanted to change it, but I got so busy, God, that I just forgot. And it kept on and it kept on. And I'm just asking God that you work on me in the name of Jesus. Sometimes I feel like giving up. I got a real good life. Lord, sometimes I just get so frustrated and so overwhelmed that I feel like it'd be easier just to give it all up, just to go to sleep, be with you. But today, God, I want you to help me enjoy this life that you've given me. I want you to cleanse me, strengthen me, and use me for your glory. Father God, I want to be the example of righteousness and blessing in the name of Jesus. I don't want to be a stick in the mud. I don't want people to think that I'm not a person. I want to be fun. I want to be vibrant. I want to be happy. And I believe that there is joy and blessing in you. I don't believe that there are so many boundaries that I can't celebrate. I ought to be able to celebrate the goodness and the fruit of your goodness in my life. So God, won't you help me clean myself today? Work on me. Help me, God. In the name of Jesus, I am a sinner. You knew I was a sinner when you sent your son. And I'm asking you right now, God, don't forget that sin is easy for this flesh. But I'm asking, God, that you help me to get better in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm laying it before you right now. You know how I can be. I can be vindictive. I can be mean-spirited. I can be slow about things. God, I can backbite. I can whisper. I can gossip. I got things, God. I can have malice. I have murder in my heart. God, sometimes I talk nasty in my mind. Sometimes I allow my eyes to see what they should not see. Sometimes I allow my ears to hear things that they shouldn't hear. But God, today I stand before you asking that you heal me in my broken places in the name of Jesus. Glory to your name, God. Thank you. Thank you for the presence of your spirit today. God, I thank you right now for energizing my spirit man on the inside. I thank you for your spirit speaking through my spirit in the name of Jesus. Won't you do it in this house, God? Won't you bring forth healing in this house? Won't you bring forth deliverance in this house right now in the name of Jesus? Not just this physical, this structure made of metal and wood and sheetrock, but God, this thing that's made of dirt, won't you make a change in
in me in the name of Jesus. God, fix the broken places. Strengthen the falling down things, God. I know that the outward man perishes, but you promised that the inward man would be renewed day by day. Won't you restore my inner man in the name of Jesus? I thank you for what you're doing even now. I celebrate you, God. I glorify you, God. I lift you up, God. And I am, as the song says, I'm encouraged, God. I know that you're going to do something fantastic, some fabulous, some astounding work in me. There is maybe not a Nazarite vow, but there is a plan for my life. You didn't send me here to be some random walking about thing. You have a part for me to play, and for that, God, thank you. Some places I have been and didn't have nothing for me to do, but in you I have something to do. I am not left out in your kingdom. I am not random in your kingdom. I am somebody because of you. You made me who I am. You gave me job. You gave me purpose. You gave me life. You gave me blessing. What I couldn't do for myself, you did for me. God, I want to tell you thank you this morning for all that you've done for me. I want to glorify you today for how you blessed me and watched over me. I want to thank you, God, when I thought all was lost. You restored everything. I just want to tell you thank you, God. And when my mind gets bleak, I'm asking God that you bring my faith back to the forefront. Help me to believe. Without you, I don't know how to confess. Without you, I don't know how to believe. Without you, I don't know how to walk. Without you, I don't know. God, I'm asking you to allow me. You empower me to have the faith for healing, to have the faith for advancement, to have the faith to fix my house, to have the faith to fix my business. Whatever it is, God, it is in you. I want to tell you thank you this morning in advance for what you're going to do and what you do in me and on my behalf. In the name of Jesus. Glory to your name. Thank you for the tears. Thank you for the joy. Thank you for the presence of your spirit in this place. And for those, God, who missed what you did in this house today, I ask, God, that either through the recorded word or through a testimony, they receive a jolt, a renewing in their spirit from the mouths of somebody in the name of Jesus. Give you praise. Give you honor. And we give you glory in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen in here. Would you give God some praise, everybody? Come on and give him praise. He's worthy. Amen. He is worthy.
Thank you, Lord.
Woo-wee. We glorify you today, God. Oh, my. Well, y'all, I hope you had proper opportunity. If I talked over you or prayed over you, I'm just going to give you a moment. I'm going to be quiet.